WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Protesters rally outside of Harrisonburg's ICE office. A Bath County couple invite a few hundred of their closest friends to camp out on their property to stop the advance of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. And we have a look at how UVA has become a hub for transgender people seeking medical care. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, June 26th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Protesters rallied outside of the Harrisonburg Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, office on Monday. WMRA's Calvin Pinn was there.
The Immigration and Customs Enforcement field office in Harrisonburg is all but hidden in plain sight. Drivers along Neff Avenue probably wouldn't notice it until they saw the barbed wire fences. But the office stood out Monday afternoon as protesters held up signs near the entrance calling to abolish the agency, commonly known as ICE. Among the couple dozen protesters were those whose families had passed run-ins with the agency in the area, including 18-year-old Harrisonburg resident Karina Vasquez.
I've experienced my nephew being torn apart from my brother, and just going through that whole experience, it's really devastating.
It was a silent demonstration, save for some testimonials and others banging pots and pans to draw attention to the office. The protesters called for local elected officials to cut support to jails and detention centers targeting undocumented immigrants. Harrisonburg's Boris Ozuna said it's a message that should not be delivered comfortably.
So we're going to continue using compassionate shaming, because if you are not shamed, you don't realize that you're doing something wrong.
While the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy has largely impacted immigrants at the border, the protest was meant to spread awareness about ICE's presence closer to home. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
President Trump is trash-talking a Lexington restaurant that refused service to his press secretary, Sarah Sanders. In a tweet Monday, Trump, an admitted germaphobe, said that the Red Hen restaurant was, quote, filthy. The latest health inspection at the Red Hen in February found no violations and cited the facility's cleanliness. The restaurant's co-owner said she asked Sanders to leave on Friday due to Trump's positions against transgender people serving in the military and his policy of family separations of migrants at the border. Also, the police killing of a knife-wielding man in Harrisonburg was justified, according to the local prosecutor. The Daily News Record reports that Rockingham County Commonwealth's attorney Marcia Garst cleared the city officer who shot and killed the 31-year-old man at a Chili's restaurant on Friday. Police shot Thomas Albin Beal Jr. of Broadway as he advanced toward an officer. Beal had entered the restaurant, brandished a large knife, and threatened customers. Police confronted him as he cornered a couple seated at a table. Police say an officer ordered Beal to drop the knife, and when he refused, police used a taser against him. When that failed to stop him, one of the officers shot him. A Bath County couple whose 120 acres of forest land lies directly in the path of the proposed Atlantic Coast Pipeline announced a summer-long encampment. They have invited hundreds of people to visit to help them stop construction of the pipeline. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
Bill Limpert says the pipeline would devastate ancient trees, destroy a virgin forest, and decapitate a place he calls Miracle Ridge.
The pipeline would turn Miracle Ridge into a pile of rubble. We'd lose some trees that are 400 and 500 years old.
He and his wife, Lynn, are inviting the governor, the DEQ, the State Water Control Board, and anybody who wants to come to a summer encampment to join the fight.
We're not going to go quietly into the sunset. We're getting up there in years. We're retired. We're not going to let up.
The news conference was held in conjunction with the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, which just last week won a stay of a construction permit on the Mountain Valley Pipeline in West Virginia. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
A Dominion Energy spokesperson says the company respects everyone's right to peacefully protest and that they want to build with minimum impact on the environment and on landowners, including the Limperts. Finally, getting and paying for good health care can be tricky for many of us. For transgender people, it can be a much bigger challenge. But as WMRA's Emily Richardson Lorente found out, the University of Virginia is turning into a kind of hub for transgender health care. Here's the first of two reports.
If I can avoid going to the doctor again, I'm going to avoid going. So.
Ja Akande is a lot of things. A native Virginian, a doting husband, a stellar law student, and a proud African American. He's also transgender.
I say I came out twice. Came out at 13 as a lesbian. Came out again at 19 as transgender. I think that second coming out was really hard.
Ja is 26 now and living comfortably as a man. But when he first came out as transgender, he was itching to start testosterone injections. But his family's health insurance plan wouldn't cover them.
And that was really difficult for me because, you know, at that point, when you finally realize, oh my goodness, like, I can start trying to live my life as a male, you want to do it.
For many transgender people, though not all, hormone therapy is key to transitioning. But that doesn't mean insurance will pay for it. In fact, according to the latest U.S. transgender survey, one quarter of those who sought coverage for hormones in the previous year were denied by their health insurers. Ja eventually switched insurance and began testosterone therapy.
You know, I was starting to physically transition and grow a beard and, you know, my little voice dropped and everything.
Just what he'd hoped. But then he had a bad experience with a nurse. A nurse who could not understand why the handsome bearded man in front of her needed the testosterone injection she was giving him.
And I said, you know, I'm transgender, so that's what I needed. And she said, trans what? And she said, trans what, while the needle was stuck halfway into my body.
And this, Ja says, was a long, thick needle.
And she's just like, you know, I didn't sign up for this. And, you know, so it was a very visceral reaction from her.
Even when there's no overt hostility, medical settings can feel fraught for trans patients.
Well, I mean, we're in Virginia. Like, it's kind of 50-50. You don't know what you're going to get, if people are going to be receptive or not.
Ja is training to be a lawyer, so he says he's confident and comfortable advocating for himself. But like the vast majority of transgender men in the U.S., about 85%, he still has a uterus, and so he has to visit the gynecologist for regular checkups.
You know, if my wife can't go with me or my sister can't go with me that day, it's just really awkward.
So it's not the exam that is hardest for you, it's the fact that you're the only dude sitting in the waiting room.
Right. It's the dude sitting in the waiting room or the secretary who's known me since I was 16 is calling me she still.
The research is clear. If a trans person doesn't feel welcome or safe at the doctor, they're less likely to go, just like any of us would be.
It's really, truly astonishing. I've had patients who were transgender in their 60s and 70s who are coming to the doctor for the first time in 30 years.
Catherine Casey is a family doctor at UVA. She's taken a particular interest in transgender patients. She says that although many doctors have the best intentions, trans patients may have good reason to worry.
I think their fears are real and legitimate.
She points to a study that shows 28% of transgender patients had been harassed in medical settings. Nearly 1 in 5 had simply been refused care. 2% were even victims of violence in medical settings.
I think that if I had faced some of these things, I wouldn't go to the doctor either.
And so Dr. Casey recently helped launch the UVA Medical System's first adult transgender clinic. For one afternoon a month, her office in Crozet will be staffed by trans-friendly psychologists, endocrinologists, nurses, and even receptionists. So far, they've held 3 clinic days and served a handful of patients each time.
One of the things that really struck me was one of those patients drove 2.5 hours each way. It really speaks to the need in the state of Virginia in general.
With an estimated 34,500 transgender adults in Virginia, Dr. Casey expects demand for clinic appointments to grow quickly. Of course, transgender patients can find some services elsewhere in the region. Hormone therapy, for instance, is available at the Health Brigade and the Planned Parenthood in Richmond, at the Carilion Clinic in Roanoke, and at Augusta Health in Fishersville. But in the last few years, the University of Virginia has emerged as a kind of oasis for transgender patients.
It's a lot better now.
When Scott Reinheimer joined UVA as the assistant director for LGBTQ student services 5 years ago, trans students had to travel, sometimes weekly, to D.C. or Maryland for hormone therapy.
While being a full-time student at UVA, I mean, I remember looking at one of the deans and saying, how is that equal access to education? It's not.
Since then, the university's Student Health Center has begun offering hormone therapy. That's where Ja Akande receives it now. And in 2016, UVA's student and employee health insurance plans both began covering virtually the full range of trans-specific healthcare needs.
Counseling services, hormone therapies, top and bottom surgeries, we will cover it. And so, I mean, the institution is extremely supportive of transgender students, and we try to let you know that.
Of course, for trans kids who aren't attending UVA, the Student Health Center is not an option. But the university's medical center just down the road has a resource for those young people as well. We'll learn more about that tomorrow. For WMRA News, I'm Emily Richardson-Lorente.
You can learn much more about that story through the links we've posted at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.